Let's continue reading verses 1 through 11 of Hebrews chapter 12. Now in these verses we have an exhortation to run the race set before us and an exhortation not to despise the discipline of the Lord. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 4. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Once again, some background notes. In Hebrews chapter 11, we had a great number of Old Testament believers that were listed as examples and models for us as to what it means to live by faith. These heroes of faith are the great crowd of witnesses here in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, the idea that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses does not mean that all these former champions of faith are up there in heaven looking down at us and watching us to see how we're doing. Now, that would certainly motivate us to run the race set before us, right? I mean, to know that Abraham and Moses and Isaiah and the others were looking down over the balcony of heaven and checking up on us, I think that would motivate us to be faithful. But that's not exactly the idea here. The idea here is not that these heroes of faith are witnesses of us, but rather witnesses to us. Their lives, particularly the events and exploits mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, are a witness to us of what it means to live by faith. Therefore, let us follow their example. Now, remember, there were some of the Hebrew readers of this epistle that were not walking by faith. They were not living by faith. In fact, some were tempted to turn back to Judaism. After all, there was more outward glory and grandeur associated with Judaism. And there was certainly more safety in Judaism now that Christianity was illegal and the Roman persecutions of Christians had begun. But the writer to the Hebrews warns his readers that this would be sin. Verse 4, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. The sin here would be primarily the sin of turning away from Christ and going back to Judaism. The true believer is expected to endure, even to the point of bloodshed, that is martyrdom. As we see here in these verses, living by faith is like a marathon race. We are expected to endure all the way. That brings us then to our doctrinal points. So doctrinal or teaching point number one. Committed believers do not get sidetracked. Committed believers do not get sidetracked. In the verses that we read, we see that the Christian life and living by faith is like a marathon race. Not a cakewalk, not a sprint or dash, not even a mile run, but a marathon. Now, I've never run a marathon, which is 26.2 miles. Our son David has run in several marathons, including the Chicago Marathon. I once ran a 7.6 mile race, and that was enough for me. But it was enough to give me the feel of a marathon. In a marathon, you see, you need to pace yourself, and you need to endure, and you can't get sidetracked. There must be commitment over the long haul. The same is true of the Christian life. Now, in verses 1 and 2, we see three factors that are necessary to keep from getting sidetracked. Number 1, lay aside every weight. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. A marathon runner carries no extra weight. You ever hold a running shoe in your hand? Very light. weights in the Christian life are not necessarily sin. Weights can be anything that take you away from being streamlined for the Lord. Too much time spent in hobbies or watching TV, leisure reading and entertainment, golf. No, not golf. Please, please, please not golf. Yes, golf can be a weight, especially if you're trying to improve your score by playing all the time. Here's a good question to ask yourself about everything that you do. Is it a weight or is it a wing in reference to living by faith? If it's a wing, it will help you. If it's a weight, it will hold you back. Number two, keep your limbs free. Keep your limbs free. A runner does not wear a lot of clothing that could trip him up or entangle him. In the same way, we must keep our limbs free. We must avoid the sin which so easily ensnares us so that we can run with endurance. The sin here in the context is probably the sin of unbelief, but certainly could be applied to any sin and sin in general. Let me ask you, do you have a sin right now that is entangling you? What should you do? Do whatever it takes to get unentangled so that you're not ensnared. Number three, keep your eyes on Jesus. Just as a runner must keep looking ahead, so we must keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The idea here is that we should keep our eyes on Jesus as the perfect runner. He is our leader and supreme example of what it means to endure. He endured the cross and finished the race and is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus and not get sidetracked. Committed believers do not get sidetracked. Doctrine point number two. Committed believers do not despise discipline. Committed believers do not despise discipline. Verses 5 through 11. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The word chastening that's used in these verses is the idea of discipline. It's not just the idea of a spanking for doing the wrong thing, although it can include that idea. Discipline also includes training. And training in the Christian life can involve and include all kinds of things to help us grow and endure in the life of faith. The writer to the Hebrews here was explaining to his readers why God did not make the marathon race of the Christian life easy. God was using persecution and suffering and hard times and public ridicule in their lives as a means of training. The same is true today. God uses financial loss and job loss and sickness and other hard times, as well as persecution and ridicule for being a Christian, as a means of discipline. Have you been through it? These things teach us to patiently endure, and as a result, we grow stronger in our life of faith, in the race set before us. So in the words of Proverbs 3, 11, and 12, which are quoted here in verses 5 and 6, let us not despise the chastening or discipline of the Lord. Do you despise God's discipline in your life? You look down on it? Listen, did your parents discipline you? Why? Because they hated you? No, it was because they loved you. And it worked. For most of you. Only kidding. Of course it worked. Well, that is the argument of these verses. Now, if the discipline of our parents worked, and they were not perfect parents, how much more will God's discipline work the right results in our lives? God is our Heavenly Father, not just an imperfect human parent. Look at verses 9 and 10 once again. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us, as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. I think we can all agree with verse 11, right? Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. How many would agree? Persecution and suffering are not easy to take. Being humbled is painful. But notice the reward of discipline at the end of verse 11. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know, I know that I would not be preaching the Word of God to you this morning if it had not been for the discipline of God in my life. When we get to heaven, we will never regret the painful discipline from the Lord that we experienced here on earth. Committed believers do not despise discipline. What about practical application from this first section of Hebrews chapter 12? Consider Jesus for a second wind. Consider Jesus for a second wind. Now you understand that term, second wind, right? Many times an exhausted runner will experience renewed energy and strength to continue running and finish the race. That's the second wind. Well, in the same way, it is possible to get exhausted when running the race of the Christian life, and you need a second wind. Look at the end of verse 3. You can become weary and discouraged in your soul. Have you had that experience? Are you experiencing weariness and discouragement right now? What's the solution? You need a second wind. Look at the beginning of verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. The more we think of what the Lord endured for us at the hands of sinners, even to the point of death, the more we consider him, the more we are motivated to endure. It's like a second wind in running. How could you not be motivated to carry out the dying wish of someone who gave his life for you? Jesus did just that for us. Are you weary? Are you discouraged? Do you feel like quitting the race? Consider Jesus for a second wind.